You're listening to the Teach Better Talk podcast, featuring expert educators eager to share progressive tactics to reach more students. Teach Better Talk is created by teachers and fueled by passion. Let's get started.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 15 of Teach Better Talk. I'm Ray Hewart, and as always, I'm with the wonderful Jeff Gargas. Hey Jeff.
Guys. How are you?
You know, we have so much in store with this episode. We're talking to one of my very good friends and incredible educators. But before we get into that, Jeff, how are you doing today?
Ray, I am doing fantastic. We are on episode 15. And I know I say this all the time, but I'm super excited. I can't believe we're already on to episode 15 right now. The podcast has been extremely well received. I'm super excited for so many of the episodes that we have coming up, but very, very excited about today's episode. We have Merrill Brown on with us. Merrill is the owner of Developing Melodies. And this is a organization that works with individuals utilizing music therapy. And this is really exciting for me because as a musician myself, I know the power of, and I believe in the power of music. So I'm super excited to sort of dive into Merrill's brain and hear her story and hear how she's using this to help others. Merrill is a board certified music therapist and a professional member of both the American Music Therapy Association and the Illinois Association of Music Therapy, where she has served as the treasurer and student coordinator. Merrill has been providing music therapy for individuals since 2006. She has worked with a wide variety of the population, including early intervention, individuals with autism, pediatrics and pediatric intensive care, adult mental health, and with the elderly. So a wide range and a long experience working in this industry. Merrill received her credential as a developmental specialist back in 2008, which allows her to now work more closely with children ages 0 to 3 in the early intervention program in the state of Illinois. So Merrill, first off, thank you so much for taking time out of your obviously very busy day in life to chat with us and share your story with us. We truly, truly appreciate that. So first and foremost, how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling great. Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm really excited to do this podcast with you. Thank you.
You know, Merrill, Jeff gave you a really great introduction, but I have to ask, like, how do you describe what you do? If you don't mind just taking a few moments and telling us a little bit more about when somebody says, hey, what do you do for a living? Would you kind of tell us what you do?
I would love to. If you can picture, there's all these memes going around online, right? And there is one out there that is what you think I do, what they think I do, what my parents paid for, you know, those type of memes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So one of the pictures in there is me with like a variety of instruments just attached to my body, like cymbals on my ankles and, you know, on my head and a guitar in my hand and drums on my back. And that's what I think I do. But what I actually do is change lives. It might sound hokey, but it's true. I help kids learn how to speak. I help kids learn how to walk. I help adults learn how to maintain, you know, emotional function, and all of these wonderful things. I change lives, you know, hokey and cheesy, but that's what I do.
I feel like I just got chills. That's so, I love that. Look at what a great start to a podcast. Right?
I know, that's a good start. And I'll tell you, it might sound hokey, you might call it whatever, but like I mentioned, you know, I'm a musician myself. I know that music can change lives. So I love it. So I think you're spot on with what you say you do. So let's talk a little more in sort of like a definition sense. Can you tell us what exactly is music therapy?
So music therapy has been around for a really long time, long, long, long ago, before you and I were even a thought in the world, in the universe. Music was used as a healing thing. You know, it was used by, you know, the medicine men in the tribes, you know, trying to heal people. Music is something that brings community together. Music has all of these powers. And fast forward to about the 1950s, about after World War II-ish, where it got really, really popular with veterans, PTSD. They were using music in order to assist in the treatment of these individuals, helping them to, you know, really dive into what they were thinking and then learning how to express that in a very healthy manner, using music and all of its facets, whether it's, and it was also, you know, war victims that had physical, you know, things happen, and learning how to walk and using music and its beat and its steady rhythm to help with gait, and then language. So the true definition that I always like to use, just really short and sweet, is I use music and all of its qualities in order to induce change. Change for the better, we hope, but induce change in non-musical areas. So what I am not is a music teacher. I was for a little while, but I'm not a music teacher now. And so that is the definition that I give for music therapy.
Really cool. And so you talk about that you utilize it to create change and have an impact. So can you share? I'm sure you have many of these, but can you pick one and share a story of sort of a time where you've utilized music therapy and it has worked? Kind of let us know, like, what was that student's situation beforehand? How did you utilize the music? And then what was the outcome? What came from that? How was that impactful for that student?
Absolutely. So to give you a little science first, before I tell the story real quick, is one of the reasons that music itself is so wonderful and why we use that is because it can be processed everywhere. Where language and speech are only processed on one side of the brain, music and lyrics can be processed on the other side of the brain, being able to bridge those two hemispheres together. So we can do some magical things with memory and cognition and language, as just a few. So the story is, I saw a child who I started seeing when she was about two, maybe a little bit before I was brought in. She has a disorder that she has a slow processing. You know, when you ask her a question, she doesn't always give the answer right away. She has a delay in her processing. She thinks about the question, then thinks about how she'll answer, then thinks about how her mouth will move, and ultimately how she will deliver that answer. And her processing time was ridiculously long. And I was able to see her, and we used music. We would sing songs. You know, she's two, she's young. We're using the fun things. We're using the things that she would know and be privy to, you know, in her regular life. So songs like, as simple in this case as Old MacDonald or Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, things that are very tangible for her, you know, things that she knows and hears. And she, you know, we would do things like leave lyrics out of the song and she would fill in the blanks. And then we would start working that into using that same tune of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. We would ask a question, you know, what color is your shirt? And she started to respond, you know, my shirt is blue. Or in her case, she's only using one or two words, but she would answer blue. And what we found is when we paired the question with music, when we put a melody to it, she responded faster. And so there's kind of two successes. A, the success of her being able to answer questions, you know, mm-hmm. you know, the who, the what, the where, the whys. And then the second success is actually she set precedent in the school district for being the first to receive a music therapy assessment and qualify for music therapy services. And she still receives these services in our school district today through my company and as a contract. So she kind of served as two successes, like getting us on the map and then her own amazing success in being able to function as a kid in a classroom. So yeah.
You know, Mara, we've been friends for a long time and I always love hearing these types of stories because as an educator, we have a lot of, you know, therapies that are available in our school. In the current school I work in, you know, we have speech therapy and we have, you know, PT. And so how then to translate that into music therapy was so interesting to me. And from the moment you mentioned it to me, you know, years ago, you like totally sparked something in my mind. I love music. I have no musical talent, but I love just music around the, you know, anything, anytime I can play music, it's on. And in my classroom, we use music a lot as well. I mean, even just the way we're learning math terms in sixth yes. grade, you know, we were singing, I have a fraction song to Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, right? Just trying to yes. give them, you know, something, right? It's such a huge impact. So I have to say, for a long time, I was a teacher that knew music therapy was available, but I had no understanding of how to even utilize it. So mm-hmm. how do teachers, when they want to consider music therapy in their classroom or for a student, like, where do they start? Like, what do they do?
So every school district is different in the protocol that's used. So there are some school districts like St. Louis County Public Schools that employ several full-time music therapists. And so for a teacher in that district, most likely they know that music therapy is an available therapy. So they make a referral, and that referral can either go directly to, like, from a teacher, from another therapist directly to the music therapy department, or it goes directly to the special ed, you know, overseer of special ed. In our district that we work in, that you are very familiar with, the teachers in our district can make that referral. We have a website that is available for the teachers where it asks a series of questions. It's kind of a screening process. Now, how they know music therapy exists, we're getting there. We're the different teacher elements, word of mouth helps. We're talking to all of the different therapies. Last year we spoke with the speech therapists, and this year we'll be speaking with the other therapists. We are, you know, getting the word out there. But what we put together for our purposes and works for our school district is that we have a website that we go to, and it's a screening. And if they can answer some of the questions on that screening with usually or sometimes, then they can be a therapy evaluation. And that will go to the director of special ed, puts the packet together, and sends everything to us, including the child's IEP and information consents.
So obviously that's the administrative side. That's when a teacher knows that they should be looking into this. When should a teacher start considering music therapy? Because that's really helpful to know kind of where you go when you already know it's something that they need to look into. But what are some signs? What are some things that teachers should consider?
Absolutely. Are you standing in your classroom when you're using these raps and these rhythmic chants, and or I'm talking to you, Ray, when you are using that, do you find that there are certain kids in your classroom? Now, you're working in a mostly classroom. Do you have a special needs section in your classroom?
I actually get to work with a bunch of variety of different students. So we have general ed students, I have students with IEPs, 504s. We have a really fun mix.
Okay. And I wasn't sure how that was separated out in your particular area. So when you're in front of any of these students, and you know, I shouldn't knock typical out. Music therapy is only an IEP thing. However, all kids can benefit from music therapy, just legalities. So when you're standing in front of your classroom and you're doing those raps, do you see a kid that is so much more motivated to complete that task, doing something musically? That's the question.
Absolutely.
Exactly. And that's the question you ask yourself. Other questions when music in some form is not presented, do they not, you know, attempt that task? Those are some of the things that you can see. A lot of the things that education, you know, we want to convey. Jeff was saying earlier that a lot of teachers might not know, and you're right. Tons of school districts, a lot in Texas, that are very, very aware and recognize the value of music therapy and have full programs implemented. I had said down in St. Louis, we've got New York, we've got all sorts of different areas where music therapists are within the district. So there's a lot of education to the teachers going on.
So there are obviously, kind of, you cut out a little bit, but there are districts who have this as a focal point. Is that true?
I wouldn't say necessarily a focal point, but it's part of the IEP team. And that's really what it is. We are not a therapy that is used over another therapy. So if a child needs speech therapy, we can help them and their speech therapist. We will not be the speech therapist. We have very clear guidelines. And that's not my area of expertise as far as full on speech therapy. So sure. We're, I guess you could say, an adjunctive therapy, or an enhancement therapy. Now, do we see kids privately in our own office for these things? Sure. But if we can collaborate, collaboration is key. And I know you guys work a lot with collaboration, so I know you're sure. Very familiar with this. So a focal point, no, but part of the team, absolutely.
And that's so valuable. I can only imagine, even just in our conversation, thinking about, Meryl, do you ever have an opportunity to go into classrooms and work with full groups of students rather than just students one-on-one?
Yes, we do. In fact, so IEP services are one-on-one. As we know, with an IEP, that is an individualized education plan. So those students are one-on-one. But we can also serve the classroom as a whole. And that's actually where my music therapy education started. And serving the classroom as a whole, we're working on socialization and we're working on communication with each other, with our peers, and between our teachers. So we love working with students. In a weird way, for a district, it's like more bang for your buck, but it gives us that opportunity to, you know, really serve a multitude of students that might otherwise not be served.
It's also education for the teacher. I mean, having somebody come in with a specialty allows me to then, as the educator, as the teacher in the room, to say, okay, how can I now more purposefully incorporate music into my lessons? Because, you know, just like every other therapy that's accessible to students, some therapies, they're not to the extent that they actually need diagnosed time for a specific therapy. We have students that have speech impediments that need to work on their speech, but aren't necessarily at the point where they're getting speech therapy. And I'm sure the same is for music. And so when you're thinking for sure. about really valuable ways to incorporate music in the classroom, I mean, even just playing music to set the tone of the classroom, I imagine, is some sort of therapy.
There is definitely a lot to be said about playing music in the classroom. There's a lot of research that says that music might not be the best thing to do in the classroom, oddly enough. That would probably be my fail. This music is perfect for all people. Yeah, it doesn't work like that. But yes, playing music can be therapeutic when used effectively. And that's why having a music therapist on staff to, you know, kind of mitigate that and really figure that out with the teacher can be very helpful. We do a lot of collaborations with teachers who are like, okay, kind of similar to what you did, but that we can do that too. So I've got Johnny, Joe, and Susie who are all working on like holding a pencil and writing a certain letter, in their penmanship or whatever it is. And we can help facilitate a music intervention to do that. We do not have to be on their IEP. We do not have to be in their classroom. We can facilitate this, consult with the teacher, and then the teacher can implement it when they're working on that in the classroom. So there's a lot of different, ways that we can do that collaboration with the classrooms.
So I know that Jeff has like a very important question coming up that really gives me anxiety. So Jeff, if you don't mind, I have one more follow-up question for Meryl.
Go ahead, because then I have one too. So we're good.
Oh, geez. Right. Well, mine really just had to do with, I know my expertise, I guess, my background is in middle school. And something I really enjoy about learning about your history, but also your music therapy expertise is how this can be implemented at such a young age. So can you just give us a quick understanding of what are the age groups that you typically, and I obviously there's a variety of different music therapies and a music therapist in the world, but what kind of age group do you work with and why do you enjoy working with that age?
So me, very specifically, I am an early childhood, birth to five, like, craver. Like, oddly enough, I love working with birth to five as long as they're not related to me. And it's true. Would you believe, fun fact, we do not use music in our home to induce change.
Interesting.
Yeah, fun fact. I don't know why, it just never happened. But I love the little ones. Birth to Five is my bread and butter. Why? It's fun. Not to say that the other populations are not fun. They really are. As you could see, I've worked with a variety of them, but I chose this one because you can just be silly. You can be, you know, just exuberant and excited, and they eat it up. You know, this is the age where you get to, there's no inhibitions with these kids. So you get the real, and you get the in your face, and you get, you know, it comes with a lot of snot, coughs, and fun is kind of how I love every minute of it. Children's stories have always been something that I've loved, and children's music has always been something that I've appreciated. And so I love this age.
So you kind of led right into mine. So that was really great. So, you know, you say that's the age that you really enjoy, but you've worked with so many. Can you touch just like, you don't have to go super into detail, but can you touch a little bit on maybe some of the bigger differences on how music therapy would be implemented and work with, you know, that birth to five compared to the middle school age, compared to a high school level? Like how is it different? How would that, is it differently approached in the styles and stuff like that? Sure. What does that look
for
like?
For sure. So, you know, the different, it's not so much the different ages as it is the different goals. Okay. So when they're itty bitties, we're looking at overall development. We're looking at their language, their motor, their cognitives, their receptive language, their fine motor skills. I mean, basically all development. We're not necessarily in an area, unless there was extreme trauma or something like that, looking at that emotional side per se. So that's what we're working on when they're little. As they grow older, they start to have ideas and, you know, thoughts and, you know, real tangible, you know, the expression. And so when we get older, we're still working on academics. We might not have to work on the motor per se, but we're working on their academics. And the academics, as you know, between the little ones versus the older ones, you know, middle school and high school, they're very different. The other thing that we're working on, maybe in the older, we do have a mental health or emotional piece. You don't see, you know, it's not a ton of the birth to threes that are going to see a psychologist, you know, but in high school, I saw one, you know, a ton of people are working and a ton of my friends saw one, you know, they're working on their emotional regulation. And so therapy looks a little different. The one cool thing about therapy, music therapy, is we're doing everything based on the client's needs. So there's no curriculum involved. Sorry. But there's no curriculum involved. You know, we go in, we assess the kids or the adults, whoever it is, and we're finding out what their likes, their dislikes. For one kid, therapy and music therapy and the things that he or she are going to use is rap music and Tupac or Biggie. And then, you know, in another kid, it's going to be Weezer or things like that. And we're going to use those likes and dislikes to really motivate them for that change as well.
Jeff, you like that
answered it.
Jeff, you like that personalized learning right there?
I do. That was great. I liked it. That's good stuff. All right. So now we're going to give you a little challenge, Meryl. We're going to do the next six questions, but you got to shoot off your answers. You got 15 seconds or less to answer each. You ready for that?
Okay. I can do it. Okay. I'll do my best.
All right, here we go. So what is one tech tool or piece of technology that you can't live without?
My computer.
What's a book that you're reading right now?
You Are a Badass.
Nice. Who do we need to follow on Instagram right now?
Music Therapy Ed.
And what's the best YouTube channel or like website or blog for getting information and resources for music therapy?
This one's really hard. We don't have a lot of YouTube because of HIPAA, but website, honestly, I'd go to musictherapyed.com. This is like, good shout out for them. Free press.
what is a daily, weekly, or monthly routine every teacher should get into?
Oh, this one's a little harder. I think, I don't know. A consistency is key. And so if you're going to use music in your classroom, I think you need to be consistent with your musical choices. If you're going to, and that's a daily, weekly, monthly routine of your teacher, daily, use the same thing daily. And then switch it up weekly or monthly. I don't know. I have a bad answer to that question.
I thought that was actually pretty good. You're good. And finally, what is the best piece of advice you've ever received?
The best piece of advice is you can't help everybody with music therapy. Oddly enough.
See, I think that's so real and honest, because as you were saying before, it's a option for therapy, but not every element is for everyone. And I think that's so valuable.
And it's crucial and extremely valuable to be aware of that.
Yes.
That it's not the end all be all, the solution to everything, but it is a piece, like you talked about earlier, about being part of the team. So it's a piece that can be part of that team, part of that solution when we're trying to reach that whole child and trying to take care of their needs specific to each child. So that was good. Good answers. Yeah. You're good. You're all right.
Thank you. Woohoo.
Can I pick on you for a second though? Because Meryl, I know you're a huge runner, and finding a way to like de-stress, I think, is really easy to use as your daily, weekly, monthly routine. And you totally threw that out of the water and tried to make up your own.
I did. I, in all fairness, I haven't been running, you know, I'm still broken. So that's why I'm like, I gotta find a new routine. My real routine is like, I sit with my planner every day. That would have been a better one, but you know, Ray knows that.
Well, I have about the most, the best question of all, everything we've talked about. And that's simply how to continue the conversation. I have found music therapy to be so interesting to learn about and really try to serve my students as best as possible. And this has just been one outlet that I can try and reach students and as many students as possible. So how can other people connect with you and learn more about everything that you're doing? Because it's so fabulous.
For sure. So we are on Instagram at Developing Melodies, plural, melodies. Our website, www.developingmelodies.com. We have a Facebook page that pretty much mirrors our Instagram right now, and that's Developing Melodies. I don't have any books out there yet, but I've written some articles, or at least some things. There have been sentences on paper once or twice.
Well, that's good. That's all right. And hopefully there'll be some books coming soon. Or maybe like audio tapes would be the way to go with the music.
Right? That would be fun.
Be the way to go. So listen, you guys, you know, as always, that you can find all the links and resources and everything that we've talked about and Meryl shared with us today over at teachbetter.com, as well as those important links for connecting with Meryl. So make sure you head over to teachbetter.com for all of those. Be sure to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any of our upcoming episodes. And if you can give us a rating and a review, we'd really, truly appreciate that. Meryl, really appreciate your time and just being real with us and being honest with us and having some fun with us. I think this is a unique topic that is not shared enough, that hopefully now more teachers will be aware that this is an option that's available and that they can reach out and learn about it and take the power of music to help more kids. So really appreciate your time.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
And all of you listening, until next time, let's get out there. Let's teach better.